Well, hello, this is Margaret Frankowitz with another, well, Margaret Copeman Frankowitz with another episode of Diabetic Survival. Wow, I am just being underwhelmed with the whole East Palestine response type deal. Kind of glad I'm not there. As more news has actually come out about the tragedy that's happened in East Ohio near the Pennsylvania border, I'm just absolutely kind of disgusted. I saw some pictures. Finally, I mean, this is something that actually occurred the beginning of the month. So it was around February 2nd. It's now the 24th. And there's finally these pictures coming to light. And it might be because I don't watch the news per se on TV. I do get a lot of my news via social media. But you know what? I mean, this should have blown up in like huge proportions. I should have seen this all over TikTok and all over YouTube and all over Facebook. And it's just been nil. Nothing. So hardly anything. I've had to actually dig and search on it. And all from a rumor from somebody saying something about it last week. So this is concerning, and I'll tell you why. Because of how late it's actually gotten out, I don't know. I've heard that the president actually, former President Trump actually went to East Palestine since the president's on vacation somewhere else. He's taking care of Ukraine. And understandably so. I mean, there's, you know, they're having to risk genocide right now. So, you know, that's been going on for a while. And for him to address that, I think is a responsible move. I mean, kind of a hard decision. It's like, I got to put myself in his shoes for a minute here and go, okay, well, these people have been reaching out to me for several months now. And this tragedy happens in East Palestine. He maybe was probably told, don't worry, we got it under control. We're taking care of it. You know, just clean up, spill. Can't do anything right now anyways. And it's probably a dangerous area for you to go into. So, okay. Fine. So if I was president, I don't know. I'd probably cut my trip short. I'd probably do what I needed to do overseas and then come right back home. But you know, I mean, he did have the former President Trump go down there. That's kind of a huge deal. You know, as you know, the former President Trump is running again. I believe he is anyways. I think he is. I mean, I would probably want to show up at East Palestine too. He gave out what he called Trump water, and I heard he bought McDonald's for people. So, that's cool. I'm sure that they were busy that day. Anyways. So I've heard about all the dying animals. You know, people going outside and their chickens are just dead. They're just horrible. This 10 miles from the site. I mean, it's like an atomic bomb was dropped off there. I think the Chinese knew more what was going on than I did. This is what's really weird. I've also seen graphs where it's not only decimated anything along the Ohio River, but going down all the way into Louisiana, even Missouri. So this is kind of scary, considering I'm not at ground zero, but I'm the next neighbor over, and everything that travels through water is going to go down the Ohio River. So, yeah, that's kind of concerning. Yes, I'm definitely drinking the bottled water because definitely don't want to drink the tap water. Okay, so anyways, with that being said, I know, not great news, but, you know, that's just the world we live in. I wanted to actually give you a quote, which I thought was kind of cool. It was something that I didn't know about. It was from a doctor, and this is off topic, of course, here, but it popped up on my feed, and I didn't know about this lady. She's a doctor, but let me tell you. So Mildred Jefferson was the first black, you know, it's Black History Month, I believe, so I wanted to actually get this out. Okay, so Mildred Jefferson was the first black woman to graduate from Harvard Law School. She was born and raised in Texas. Jefferson wanted to be a doctor from a young age, a difficult path for a black woman in the South, but she wouldn't be deterred. After obtaining her bachelor's and master's degrees, Jefferson enrolled in Harvard Medical School in 1947. In 1951, she graduated from medical school and became the first woman to serve as a surgical intern at Boston City Hospital and be elected to the Boston Surgical Society. Jefferson went on to become the first female doctor at the former Boston University Medical Center, now the Boston Medical Center, and by the 1980s, was working as a general surgeon and a professor of surgery at the Boston University Medical School of Medicine. Feeling called to preserve all human life, Jefferson was an outspoken pro-life activist. Early in her career, she began upholding the scientific truth that preborn children are living human beings. Jefferson argued that the abortion industry was targeting the black community. Blacks suffer more from abortion because what looks like help is actually striking against them. Blacks are fewer. They will disappear sooner. Jefferson went on to become one of the founders of Massachusetts Citizens for Life and helped to found the National Right to Life Committee as well, where she served as both a member of the board and as president. Dr. Jefferson died October 15, 2010, at the age of 84, but her words and her fight for life live on. Quote, "We are speaking for those who cannot speak for themselves, defending those who cannot defend themselves, and fighting for those who cannot fight for themselves. We will win the battle for life because we must. But when we win, that victory will not be for ourselves, but for America, the world, and all mankind," end quote. So she also said, quote, "I am at once a physician, a citizen, and a woman, and I am not willing to stand aside and allow this concept of expendable human lives to turn this great land of ours into another exclusive reservation where only the perfect, the privileged, and the planned have the right to life," end quote. And that was Dr. Mildred Jefferson. RIP, rest in peace, Dr. Mildred Jefferson, and may your legacy live on. And, you know, one of the reasons why I'm actually bringing her up is because after reading about her, I thought that, like, for instance, my views were kind of new when I've come out and supported pro-life. And, yeah, I guess this is kind of an advertisement for pro-life movement without being an advertisement. But I thought my thinking was relatively new. I mean, I knew that there were people who supported the pro-life movement, but I had no idea. This fight started well before Roe versus Wade, 1973, actually. And to know that people knew, people actually had the brain cells to put one and one together to make two. They're like, okay, well, they're putting all these abortion clinics around where we live, predominantly black society. Okay, there's a problem here. I think they're targeting us. Yeah, they knew this was going on. Like, this is something new to me. I didn't even know about this until up to a couple, maybe 5-10 years ago. I'm like, hey, they're targeting people. I did actually read this. It was not from her quote. It was from something else I was actually reading. I'm like, wow, this is kind of crazy. But to target people. I mean, now mind you, Planned Parenthood, they'll take anybody's kids and, you know, cut them up into pieces. Horrible, right? Now, some of you guys disagree with me. You think abortion's completely okay. And, you know, hey, have at it. But I've been hearing about some horrific things lately that are just chilling me to the bone, such as people who've worked in the abortion clinics leaving because they were just disgusted that so many women were actually using it as a form of birth control. And they weren't just in there one or two or three times. They were in there every couple of months. Every time they got pregnant, they went in and had an abortion. They were using it as a form of birth control. Okay, so that's really just appalling. And then the fact that they turn around and with these babies that they have chopped into pieces, they're selling the stem cells, they're selling certain parts of these babies to different types of scientists, etc. And you may think, well, the baby's already dead, so who cares? I mean, if you're cold and heartless, but just the whole thing is just revolting when you think about it. And the more I learn about it, the more I'm horrified and mortified that people would actually go in there and kill their unborn children. Because if you think it's perfectly okay, look at your children that you currently have and ask yourself if you would actually cut them up into pieces and not have any guilt and remorse. Or look at your nieces and nephews if you don't have any children. Or look at your neighbor's children. Would you want to do that to that child? Of course not. I would hope not. I mean, maybe you would, and I don't want to ever talk to you, okay? But I would hope that you would actually have some compassion and some decency not to do something like that. I mean, it's horrific. Okay, so anyways, I just thought I'd actually put that in, and just a major kudos again to Dr. Mildred Jefferson. And I just want to say that I never knew her, of course. I didn't even know of her until probably about an hour ago. But I really appreciate the stand that she actually made. And I completely 100% support her mission. That continues on. Her legacy lives on. All right. So I didn't think I was going to go into the whole East Palestine thing again, but it's a huge concern, not just for diabetics, but for everyone in the area for hundreds of miles, because these toxins, which, okay, so here's the thing, there were like between 5 and 7 different toxins that were dumped in. I mean, it was just an absolute toxic mist of a mix of not mist but mix of chemicals that went into, and of course they're concerned about the groundwater, but the fact that it's killing off fish, you know, that means it's going into the lakes, the streams, the air when they burned it off. What were they thinking? Like, okay, so if you remember back when Biden first became president, he had said something that really piqued my interest. He said something about domestic terrorism, and that has never left my mind. And the things that I actually see going on are just absolutely horrific. And we're going down a really slippery slope, people. Like, this is horrible, because if that's actually what's going on, then we're all being targeted, which is pretty obvious, right? But especially in the diabetic communities, I mean, we're infiltrated in all communities, by the way. I'm not saying by any means that we're domestic terrorists. No. But what I'm trying to say is that we're being victimized here, because of course, you know, you poison the air, you poison the groundwater, makes people age faster, gives them cancer, kills off diabetics faster. You know, whoever planned this toxic mist mix of, I said mist again, it kind of was a mist. But whoever, I think this was planned. And one of the things that I did actually see, just reviewing certain podcasts from people actually popping out with information on what had happened in East Palestine, is who actually owns a railroad. And that would be BlackRock, that would be JP Morgan, that would be a couple of other places. You know, they buy stocks into the railroad to make money, and of course they're cutting costs. When they cut costs, the first thing they do is cut security, safety, because of course they want to look profitable. So they're trying to gain that profitability for their shareholders. This is where the whole shareholder thing doesn't work out, because if you have to compromise your safety, that's a horrible thing. So train derailments are nothing new, but how they're treating it is. There is a city in Missouri, and this was actually brought to my attention through the Homesteader. He's on YouTube. There was a city in Missouri. I couldn't even tell you the name because he didn't even say what the name was. But there was a town, and I'm sure you've heard of little towns that have closed down for, you know, weird reasons. There was this town that was actually evacuated back in the 70s for the same thing happening. There was a huge derailment. And, of course, same thing, explosion, fire, whatever. And they told everybody in the city that they had to evacuate. And they were not to return and not to take their things with them to leave them. And to this day, this town is still a ghost town. Now, what city that is, I have no idea. I'm obviously going to have to see what I can find, dive a little bit deeper. And then, of course, I'll actually report on that in future podcasts. But the repercussions of, certain cancers actually popping up, contaminating groundwater, is something that future generations are going to have to deal with. And it's not a fair fight. If we contaminate all the air and the water and the land where it can't be used, we're not doing anybody a service. We're doing them a disservice. So these people, anyways, they had to leave. This was back in the 70s or whatnot. The way they treated it, the EPA treated it back then as compared to now. I mean, obviously, they put safety first back in the 70s. They don't care anymore. I mean, if they're sending people back to their homes saying it's safe after a couple of days, that means that they do not care about those citizens. And you'd wonder why, and it all has to do with economics. See, the median home price in East Palestine is around $80,000. And as you know, the typical home price in a lot of different areas, like you go to Arizona, California, you know, $400,000 is on the low end, all the way up to $1.5 million. So they don't care about these people's houses. And, oh, by the way, you can actually buy more house on the East Coast than you can on the West Coast in certain areas. So they don't care about these people. It's an aging population. Many people are, from what I've been told anyways, now might be misinformation, are 65 plus. So they don't really care about those people. And, you know, East Palestine, if anybody from East Palestine is listening, which may or may not be the case, I'm really sorry that this happened to you. But I think that would be in your best interest to leave the area. Before, I was just like, kind of on the fence about it. I think that you need to leave the area. Erin Brokovich was like, you know, if you feel like it's going to be safe, then stay. But like she was giving you a choice. No, I would say leave the area. If they were doing that back in the 70s where they left the area and they could not return, I think for your own safety, you'd probably want to leave the area. Okay, just saying, go anywhere else. Anywhere, doesn't matter. Your safety is more important than that. But okay, so another reason why I wanted to actually talk about this is because Ohio, they've been having some issues, like 18 drug overdoses in Columbus, Ohio, and something about, I think it was like a steel plant that's not too far from Palestine, East Palestine, that actually caught fire. Pennsylvania had some issues too, where they had their chicken coop. They had, you know, like this chicken processing plant just completely burst into flames. Like, what is going on here? Or are those things being brought up to downplay the tragedy that just happened in East Palestine? I mean, it's kind of a hard thing to imagine. There was also another train derailment that they actually mentioned in Michigan. And I'm starting to think that the reason why they're mentioning this is they're trying to downplay and get people's attention off of what happened in East Palestine. And if you look at pictures on the web, just type in East Palestine, I mean, it was like a major train derailment too. And I still want to know what actually caused that. Was it just poor maintenance or what? So, going back to the homesteader who happens to be in Missouri. He's like, if you really want to know what's going on there, you have to talk to the railroad people, the people who work on the railroad. And he was saying that they're hiring, you know, like younger engineers, you know, to run the trains, and you're kind of avoiding certain safety protocols, etc. So you have all these inexperienced greenhorns because, you know, they're trying to cut costs. So they're going to take their more experienced people out. They're going to put less experienced people in who don't have as much as experience or training because they're not making the big bucks. They're still making good money, just not what your experienced people would. So that was kind of interesting. I sure hope it was the homesteader guy that I was listening to. I was actually playing a lot of different podcasts trying to, you know, just trying to be like one of those sleuths and get as much information as I can. So far, it's been on the money. Everybody is just kind of like, I think everybody's in shell shock a bit. So as more comes out, we're going to definitely see how disastrous this thing was. And I'm even starting to wonder, you know, even being 200 plus miles away, if I'm even safe here. And while some people might chuckle at that, I'm only like a quarter of a mile from the Ohio River. The Ohio River, we were actually getting our drinking water. They have since switched it to a different reservoir. But what really concerns me is because of the whole alleged control burn that they did with these multiple chemicals that went into the air. These, you know, this plume of smoke literally looked like an atomic bomb. It was just horrific. And the fallout from that would travel hundreds of miles away, which means that is still going to hit our drinking water. It's still going to hit our reservoirs. So I'm not quite sure how they can actually screen out those types of chemicals. They may not even have that. So that water, I mean, we're not going to see the effects right away, but we're going to see the effects of it. Like, all I can say is a major lawsuit. Like, this is going to be such a huge, massive lawsuit on this, and who knows where it's going to go. So if it was serious enough for Aaron Brockovich to actually get involved in this, and if anybody who has watched that movie knows what she has done to actually save certain communities, then you know it's serious, people. Like, this is not a drill. This is not a joke by any means. This is some serious business going on. Okay. So that was what was really concerning me. And also the people who live in Ohio who have to put up with this. So there's some people talking like this must be a conspiracy, this attack on Ohio, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I also want to make note, Ohio is one of those states where we decide who's going to be president next as well. So isn't this weird? Like Biden's action plan? Like, you know, there's a lot of people like, why are you, Biden, why are you like in Ukraine when you should be in Ohio taking care of the people? I thought this was super weird too. Because the person who actually shows up in East Palestine is Donald Trump. And Biden is not in Ohio. He's outside of it. And I started thinking, I mean, you know, 2024 is just around the corner here, people. What do you think the people in Ohio, the whole deciding state, now mind you, there might be another state that actually decides who's going to win the presidency. But who do you think they're going to side with come, you know, when it's time to vote? Like, this is one of your swing states here. One of many, right? But there are certain states that just swing a certain way every election, except for Ohio. Ohio will go either blue or red, you know? So it's like, well, that's why they say it's a swing state. So this next election should be really interesting. This might tie into the elections, what actually happens. So sometimes you have to follow the money trail, and sometimes you have to see what's actually going on in society. And of course, we also have the worldwide agenda going on too. And of course, everybody knows about what, you know, the whole, how do I put this? So I'm really getting out there world-like. Okay, so it's the, I wanted to say it's the World Health Organization, but it's not. It's, I can't even think of it. Okay, so, and of course, I'm actually recording this raw, so I don't edit this. So when I get a mind blank like this, I'm like, okay, great. Usually I have to record the whole thing. I'm almost done with this podcast, though, so I'm not going to re-record it. But it's the World Economic Forum. And that's what I'm thinking of, the WEF. They, you know, they go in there and they plan certain events to happen, and then it happens. Oh, and I wanted to say, somebody on YouTube actually claimed that on Netflix, they had recorded a show in East Palestine about a train derailment. What? Like, and I've heard that this has already come out. This is like right after this incident actually took place. Are you kidding me? Like, can anybody say plandemic here? Like, really, you're gonna, like, risk everybody's lives over your entertainment. Like, WEF, they're some sick people. They are sick. Like, you know what? I don't think I like the way that they toy with humanity. They've done some horrible things. And you know what the thing is we take this. We have to. Because what are we going to do? Like, attack the WEF? I mean, they're just going to shoot us down anyways. They don't believe in guns unless they protect themselves, of course, right? So, they're going to stage things. Like, when things aren't going their way, they'll just become terrorists and tear us down. So, I mean, we don't really have any other option. I mean, it's almost like, I feel like we don't really have any other power, but to actually, okay, don't attack me, the podcast, you know, don't attack the messenger here, okay? Don't attack the messenger here. You guys need to reflect and go after the people that are causing these tragedies to happen. So turn your anger around and flip it. So if you're listening to me just because you don't like me or whatever, turn it around and actually focus on the bigger picture here. So, and I mean absolutely no malice towards anybody, okay? So, flip it around and actually look at what's going on. And if you're one of those people that are making money off the railroad, I'm sorry, but you know what? Look what happened. If you're somebody who has stocks and stuff in the railroad or any other place, and I mean, it's a good investment. I would have invested in it too and raking in all this money, but if something like that would have happened, God gave me a conscience, therefore I think, and I don't think I'd have my money in the railroad any longer. And as far as BlackRock goes, JP Morgan, and other individuals who are actually investing in these organizations that allow this corruption to go on, hey, I hope that you get to share in the lawsuit of actually paying those people who have been victimized back. So I really hope that they get a really good lawyer. I really do hope that. I hope they get a team of lawyers on this, because those people deserve to be compensated. And I would have to say, everywhere it hit, including the Ohio River, you know, that's our drinking water too. Hey, guess what? I should be part of that lawsuit as well. Okay? So, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get cancer 10 years down the road, maybe 1 year down the road, that's actually caused from that. I don't know. So I really hope that they get a good team of lawyers on the case to do their due diligence, and hopefully it doesn't fall through the cracks, much like other lawsuits that seem to. So make sure you cross your T's and dot your I's and go after these people. Okay. So anyways, okay, so one of the reasons why I would suggest And I mean, maybe I should listen to my own advice here, but get out of Ground Zero if you're there. If you're in East Palestine, get away from East Palestine. I don't even feel safe 200 miles away. Do you think that, like, I'm talking about East Palestine here. Do you think that you're really safe? Do you really trust your government? Because I'm going to tell you what. Anybody who you go on, if you go online, YouTube, and you actually Google this, nobody trusts what's going on in the government right now. They don't trust. They haven't built any type of trust. There hasn't been any trust there since the gold standard was lost. So since JF Kennedy was assassinated, there's like no trust there, right? We've had internal terrorists for years in our country. And, you know, it's just kind of like we've become complacent. And at some point in time, this needs to be taken care of. I don't care how, it just needs to be. Like, if we were all just honest people, we could actually see, if we were all just honest people, let me just state this, this stuff wouldn't be going on. And, you know, money corrupts, absolutely money corrupts, something like that. But when you start thinking, oh, I got to pay for that huge house I have or whatever, maybe you need to reevaluate that situation. Do you really need the huge house and the $1,000 electric bill? I mean, come on. Regular people don't live like that. Some people live in studios. So that's all I'm saying. If you have to go work a normal job and be an honest person, maybe you just need to go work a normal job and stop being, you know, the boss that makes, like, you know, several million dollars a year or more and, you know, takes everybody else's health and puts it at risk. I mean, have a conscience. Grow one. Have some morality about you. This is also one of the reasons why they say psychopaths make the best business owners. They don't really care about you or your neighbor. So keep that in mind too. And if you're an ethical business owner, my apologies to you, because I know that you people are out there too. It's just that there's some people that just don't care about your health, especially when you're a diabetic. We got to watch all this stuff, right? So, yeah, you got to watch those telomeres. If you know anything, I actually did talk about telomeres at one point in time. That's something that when it wears down, then we become more susceptible to disease and diabetes and heart attacks, etc. So when they start wearing down, then we can't think as well as we used to. It causes us to age faster, and especially with chemical explosions like what happened in Ohio. Yeah, it shortens our lifespan. All right, people. Well, thank you so much for listening. As you know, I always say, please be kind to each other. Adopt a family from East Palestine if you can. Like, give them a new place to live. There's about 5,000 people there that need to get the heck out of there. Them and their pets. If you have a place for them, please help them find safety. They're not rich people. I mean, when your median household income's, or your median household is, or your house, I should say, I can't even talk, it's worth $80,000, that's a median. They're not rich. You know, they're not. Anyways, get them some help. They need to be in a safe area. All right, so this has been Art Kobit Frankwitz with another episode of Diabetic Survival, reporting again on East Palestine because, you know, God bless it. I actually am concerned about those people there and myself too. I mean, being 200 miles away and on the Ohio River, I'm like one of those make lemonade out of lemons, though. I'm not seeing too much lemonade right now. It's getting a little bit bitter. But of course, I just hope for the best and hope for a happy ending of some sort. All right. Thank you, and you have a great day.